Well, it is Wednesday night, March the 24th, 2010. Listen, rust is dark, shatter the darkness. Thanks for being here tonight. We've got, listen, it's been an incredibly busy week. All kinds of things going on in the nation. Everything going on here. We're getting prepared soon to leave for Michigan. Going up to the Upper Peninsula. Going to do a conference up there. Got 14 pages of notes we're going to get to teach about 6 hours, including a lot of question and answer time. So I just got some more notes from friends in Minnesota, other places that are going to be coming. We're very glad you're coming. Looking forward to seeing everybody there. We trust that it will be a massively big, spiritual impact to the glory of Christ. Want to welcome you tonight to, the voice of Shatter the Darkness. If you go to the website, you'll see everything about who we are, what we're about, hundreds of hours of free MP3s, training courses, and then the brand new series that I think is one of the most important called Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. I'm going to talk tonight about the spirit behind politics. We've got a series this week called America, Home of the Free or Home of the Damned, the State of the Union. Now listen, tonight, this is very, very vital. And again, glad that you are listening tonight. Send us an email once in a while. Let us know you're listening. ShatterXmail@sbcglobal.net. Keep us in your prayers in the midst of all the things that we've got to do and we're engaged with, doing some of our mission, what we call a REAP trip, into other states all around us. We have a lot of people to counsel, a lot of people to work with, a lot of people that are demonized, and we deeply apologize for many of you that do write, and we are trying to keep up with everybody writing, but it is just, on a human scale, sometimes impossible. So we're trying to get back, and we got a brand new newsletter out with all the newest podcasts, broadcasts. So we put it out this week. If you haven't gotten it, write to us. We'll put you on the list. It's free twice a month. It gives you the updates, information, the titles for these live. Listen, we've been given the opportunity to do 4 one-hour sessions during the week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 6 and Tuesday night at 7 p.m. So again, we're grateful. We're here March 22nd all the way to March 26th, Friday. The title, America, Home of the Free or Home of the Damned. We can open up doors in our own lives. We reap what we sow, but we can open up doorways to the demonic. We can open up things in our lives and make choices and literally bring damnation into our lives. So can a family. So can a nation. Now, Monday night, we talked about America and 6 reasons why we should fight for this nation. I'm not willing to leave it for the dogs, spiritually speaking. That's out of the book of Revelation, by the way, towards the end. When it refers to the kingdom of God and the home of the righteous, and that, on the outside are the dogs. A reference to those ultimately in opposition to God, opposition to the way and the will of God, that would mix their lifestyle of self-promotion with worship of the dark side and the demons and so forth. We'll make definition of that more so on Friday night. Tonight, the power behind, politicians. I mean, anybody thinking right now of Adolf Hitler, you know that it was the speaking and the speech and the influence and the, there is a force, a dynamic behind his speaking, behind his action, behind his ideology, everything that moved him. And you saw that millions loved him and listened to him and great emotion there, but there was a spirit behind Adolf Hitler. There was a spirit behind the politics, the ideology, the laws, the agenda, the vision about the belief system. Anybody who believes in Christ, you've been reading your Bible, you remember in the Old Testament that Satan rose up against Israel and enticed David to sin. He rose up against a nation. He rose up against a nation and sought to move the leader of that nation to do things that would open the doorways to judgment, that would open the doorways to damnation. If you're an American listening to me tonight or later on in the archives you're listening, I'm going to tell you that politicians can open the doors to freedom for America, or they can open doors for damnation. That's why it's very important to know the policies, the beliefs, the actions of politicians. We've got an enormous opportunity in our voting, an enormous opportunity in a land where we can make some influences, but we're seeing more and more and more of the freedom being taken away and being stolen. I believe that when biblical principle, when the Spirit of God, when there's a sense of godliness and a surrender of the nation to the God of heaven, that there is a yieldedness to doing good as biblically defined, promoting good as biblically defined, and being opposed to evil as biblically defined. You can read about that in Romans 13. When there is that kind of openness and yieldedness to God, there can be blessing, shielding, and help. But the opposite is also true. That when a nation opens to the demon gods, seducing spirits, when the nation opens to moral, spiritual decadence and perversion, then damnation can follow. Politicians, what they believe, what they practice behind the scenes, what they eventually seek to influence the nation with and seek to bring as laws into this nation. Listen, it can either open the doors to freedom or the doors to damnation. You better be willing to not only scream about it, but do something far more than just screaming. Screaming about it is important. I'll tell you the story tonight about a young man. He was a friend of mine. We were on our motorcycles back into the woods doing all of our backwoods driving, having a fun time. A friend of ours wanted to come, so he cut through a farmer's field and was cutting through to, well, he was trying to find us, but he was cutting through an area that said no trespass. As he was cutting through, there were some individual people yelling, screaming out to him. Now, my old friend turned around and gave them the middle finger, laughing at them. He was going to go his direction no matter what. They were screaming and they were yelling. They were trying to get his attention. He turned around and laughed in their faces. He turned around and gave them the middle finger. He turned around and continued on the path. They were screaming and screaming and screaming and screaming. You see, Mark did not realize it, but he was heading for a one piece of strand of fence that was left. It was barbed wire. We all knew about it, and all of us knew to duck, drive our motorcycles under it and duck, but Mark had never been there. Mark had never driven that path before. And the people that were screaming were saying, there's barbed wire. You're going to have to put your head down. Watch out for the fence. Watch out for the wire. They were screaming and trying to warn him. And Mark absolutely rejected what they were screaming about. He hit the barbed wire fence with his face. When we eventually found Mark, after he had been to the hospital, he had stitches in the side of his face and the side of his neck. He was all padded up and had gauze and tape, and you could see the blood, and it was all over his face and all over his neck. So tonight, as many of you that are used to listening to screamers Screamer's telling us about about abortion and about the murder of children and how that is spitting in the face of God. About socialism and globalism and how that opens the door for the spirit of Antichrist, and that we should scream about it and that we should yell about it and that we should never run down that path. That we should scream about the stealing of national sovereignty. That we should scream about laws that take away constitutional rights. Let me tell you something. In all of the visible, physical, political fighting that's going on right now, I'm going to tell you that right now there's a spirit behind the politics. Just as there was spiritual guidance, influence, force behind the development of Nazi Germany, of the ideology, of the principles, everything that eventually came out in the paperwork, in the ideology, in the vision, that even developed the military vision and enforcement of the political ideology, behind all of it was a spirit. Now, it's going to be tough for some, because dealing with the spirit behind politics, the question would be, how do you get your hands on that? How do you fight that? If we can understand that the fallen cherub, that Satan can literally bring influence and bring guidance to ideology and guidance to people's behavior. Again, I remind you in the Old Testament where Satan rose up against the nation Israel and he enticed King David to sin. And David did, and judgment came. Or we can go to the New Testament where at the Lord's Last Supper, the Last Supper where Satan entered in to ask if he could destroy the disciples. It was there that the Bible says Satan entered into Judas. The Bible gives no revelation whether Judas felt it, whether Judas realized it. But a spiritual force entered his life, and he went out and he betrayed the Son of God unto death. He sold Jesus Christ out for 30 pieces of silver. There are politicians that are doing it. There are the wealthy elite that are doing it. There are military leadership that are doing it. And the spirit that is behind the politics, spirit that's behind the ideology, the lawmaking, the positioning, the behavior, I'm going to tell you right now that it can be dealt with, can be engaged. In a nation that is literally battling, I mean, listen, Europe has done this. Europe and the UK has done this, and the spirit behind the ideology, the spirit behind the law making, the governing of Europe and even the UK right now, well, they're farther advanced. They've been drawn off into globalism far beyond us. And so I'm going to tell you that the influence, that the power, the force behind so much of it right now is something that many of those being guided, directed, led, don't even know. Again, look at the biblical example of Judas. When Satan entered into him, and the Bible doesn't even say that he felt it, that he sensed it, that he went crazy because his life was so... I'm going to give you the principles tonight. His life was so open to it. This is absolutely true about politicians, military leaders, and others. And I've said again and again, I'll say it now, that in the end of days biblical prophecy, the two primary targets are going to be people in the political realm and people in the military realm. They are being layered. They are being guided. There's a force manifested as never before in history. Go back and study the Babylonians and look at the leadership. Look at the kings, how they worshiped demon gods and how the laws of the land became, in direct opposition to God eventually. In lands like that, the Medo-Persians and the Greeks and the Romans, all of the Roman Empire, its political leaders and military enforcement eventually became so opposed to the will of God, so opposed to the agenda of God, so opposed to the grace of God and the mercy of God. The politician, now the people were gobbling up the gospel. I mean, by the thousands, those once engaged in the ancient pagan blood cults, Bacchus and the others in Rome, and that Romans were becoming believers in Christ. There was a massive turning, and that's why the political powers that were literally mounted had attachment, had an overseeing presence, guided them to, attack believers, to attack the gospel, to persecute Roman citizens that believed in Christ, just because they believed in Christ. Now, the Roman Empire was, collapsing because of its decadence and many other reasons, but biblical revelation tells us that ultimately, Rome was collapsed by the hand of God. Now, Romans 16:20 says, may the God of peace, listen, that he's going to soon crush Satan under your feet, in reference to Rome. God has the power to seize and bring his force against the spiritual forces that are guiding nations that become antichrist, that become anti-God, that begin to live out radical evil as though it is good. They exchange. They turn their governments upside down, and America is in the battle of being flipped completely. Instead of the biblically defined good, that now would be called evil in America. Instead of the biblically defined radical evil that we need to oppose, that may become the norm, the mainstay. And I'm going to tell you again that it's spiritual presence that brings, people to their ideologies, to their belief systems. And those belief systems and ideologies then get pumped into political agendas. Aren't you tired of being lied to? Aren't you tired of being deceived? It's amazing to me that there are now many, many believers in Christ that once, you voted incorrectly for Obama, thinking that he would be the great man of change, claiming that he was some kind of major believer in Christ. Everything shows us the opposite. His policy instantly to sign papers to have more babies killed. His demonstration of no honoring of Christ absolutely disappearing during the National Day of Prayer. A national day of praying for the nation, of seeking God for the nation. So while we see the culture war, while we listen to screamers warning the politicians and warning military individuals and warning the rest of our nations, we must realize that spiritual presence brings about belief systems, that spiritual presence brings about ideologies, that ideology can become law, can become the rule, can become the disposition of a people. At the UN and other places, there has been what is called the Luciferic Invocation. You can look it up on the web. The Luciferic Invocation. And basically, it sounds pretty good, but it's not a reference to Jesus as Lord or God, the God of creation. It's a direct reference to Lucifer in the Luciferic belief system. See, they believe he's the good guy coming back. They believe he's the good guy going to return as the world teacher. As kind of a Maitreya. As kind of a world political, military, economic, environmental savior. You see, there's a vast spiritual agenda that is manifesting just like God said it would. Listen, if you've got great information, I mean, if you've really got New Testament biblical prophetic revelation down well, then you're going to be able to know, you're going to be able to see. It's as if God has given us the key indicators of the satanic playbook. God has exposed the agenda. God has exposed the systematic, progressive, sequential, evolutionary development. The frog in the kettle approach. The approach towards politics and military. The coming swelling and swelling and swelling of a presence that's going to burst and bring chaos and anarchy and bloodshed and the collapse of nations. Even what we detect in the governmental sense now, even what we see right now, we have mainly no idea of the lethal nature that is the real plotting going on underneath. Will there be a day of collapse in America? Yes. Will there be a day of collapse in Britain, in Europe, in other nations that has been plotted and planned for decades, that has been part of an agenda that God spoke about and warned about 3,000 years ago? My friends, the answer is yes. The answer is yes. Let me mention three things again tonight to tell you that they reveal. Number one, Armageddon. Number two, Revelation 16. Number three, Psalm 2. All of which reveals ultimately that there is clearly an agenda, that it's secretive, that it's developing, that it's vast. Well, there's a number of things concerning it also. I'm getting ready to do a big conference up in Michigan. I've got 14 pages of outline notes that we're going to use. It's coming up this Saturday, March the 27th. And listen, if you can't come, we're hoping to record everything and bring back the information and put it out to you. Because I've got some brand new materials and some stuff that we're going to outline there that we've never done anywhere else. On page 5 of the notes, I mention that there's a biblical revelation of a huge, dark, operative force. For those that are believers in Christ, you understand Ephesians 6, that the battle is not against flesh and blood. Even if you go to Washington and you make signs and you protest and you fight, and even if you get into politics, if I were ever to get into politics, it would have to be that it would be saturated with fierce prayer, that everything about it would involve the spiritual warfare principles outlined in Scripture. Politics is a spiritual battlefield that can manifest and bring about opposition to God or an open door to God, which will eventually bring, a freedom to the land or a damnation to the land. Politicians are judged, man. There may be blood on their heads. Decisions they make that oppose God and spit in the face of Christ will ultimately bring damnation to a nation. See, in the end, nations will be directly judged, not just individuals, but nations. In the return of Christ, there is the judgment of the nations. There is the millennial rule of Christ, and there is the rule with an iron scepter of the nations. Of the nations. I shared Monday night, Romans 16, where because of the prophetic writings of God, the centrality of the gospel and the will of God concerning the gospel, by the command of the eternal God, God wills that a nation, let alone individuals, God wants a nation to surrender, to believe God, to yield itself to God, to obey God. Well, it's going to obey the God of heaven or the God of this age. Small g. You know, 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this age, this time period, who blinds the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see. It's about a spiritual blinding on politicians, on military men and women, on people that are the wealthy, on media moguls that, listen, outside of the presence and power and protection of God, there is a supernatural blinding that operates over them so they cannot see. They cannot see Christ, who is the icon of God. You do a study of 2 Corinthians 4:4, and you will see clearly, very clearly, that there's an operative force. And I'm going to mention again a place. You can turn to it. If you got a Bible, write it down. I think that everybody that's a seeker, I think that even if you're a remote viewer, and if you're a psychic, and if you're a spiritual seeker, the question would be, what spirit guides you? What spirit have you embraced? If it's a finite fallen spirit, it will never lead you to God. It will never lead you to seeing the full face of God. No, it cannot. It will not. If you listen to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God's going to lead you to God in human flesh, Christ. Going to lead you to the power, the spiritual power, and the wielding of what work was done at the cross. How to know God personally. In the context of the physical battle, which seems to be a culture war, which seems to be a, well, it shows itself. It always does. It did in Nazi Germany. It was a cultural war in which those inspired by finite, dark, deceiving spirits that developed Nazi ideology eventually swelled to the point that they fought and that they eventually took over the government and became the government. And began to lead a nation. It wasn't German per se. It was the Nazi ideology that guided. There was deep ancient hate there. There was a spiritual force. Voice to skull. Voice to mind. Voice to the construct of the human being. What Himmler. What Hitler. What Goebbels. What all of them believed. And the forces that were present in the development of Nazi ideology. We all know what it finally led to. And everywhere the finite, fallen, dark, God-opposing spirits are permitted to guide politicians, military men and women, those that would lead a nation. They will seek to bring and grab the political power and the political rule. They will seek to draw in the military system to enforce. And in that progressive approach, eventually that the breath of the fallen cherub will show itself in the speeches, in the language, in the policies, in the, well, agenda of annihilating individuals. Did Nazi ideology conform to the will of God? Absolutely not. It was opposed to the will of God. It was opposed to the mission of God. It was opposed to the Christ of heaven. absolutely in opposition. That's the way it is with the New Age movement that has brought great influence into politics, into military, into the media, into the educational streams, into the science and technology. The spirits of the New Age that have guided and guided and guided and guided and directed and given human, listen, non-human enhancements. You see, when individuals are without the Spirit of God, the sin nature is operative. A door is open. If you're listening to me now and you do not know God inside of your life, a doorway is open of influence. I'm going to give you a verse, and I hope you'll chew over it, think over it. It's out of the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, where it speaks of a living entity, the same one that brought down one-third of the angelic, well, the angels. The same one that engaged humanity and led us in rejecting God, rejecting His Word, embracing an alternative, and receiving into our very beings death, a sin nature. The fall of the human race goes back to the influence of the spiritual being that I'm talking about right now that is influencing political, military, economic, media leaders in the United States of America and other nations. I'm going to tell you that the prince of the power, the Greek word prince literally is the Greek word ruler. The ruler, the second word is from the Greek word domain, realm. This is the ruler of the realm of the eros, the immediate dense atmosphere. He's within the immediate dense atmosphere of the globe. Now, there are scientists and those who have begun to engage the field, the living conscious universe, the Akashic records, the collective unconscious. That's right, military people, remote viewers, you know, theoretical physicists and so forth are all checking into. There is a force, there is a field, there is a presence, there is a power. But sheer fallen human minds cannot penetrate the masqueraded defenses of the most lethal, hating, murderous presence in all of existence. The presence that led a third of the angels. The presence that led the fall of the human race, that brought in the concept of sin, that opened the door of the human heart to another presence. Instead of the image of God and bearing the image that God created us to bear, we instead now have the imprint of the sin code and the markings of the fallen cherub in our hostility to God, opposition to God. There may be some listening to me right now, you don't know why you have hostility towards God. Romans chapter 8 talks about a sin nature, a code within you. There's a death code and a sin code inseparably connected. The Word of God in Romans 8 calls it the law of sin and death. It's the operating force, the operating code. It's what's within us until the power of the work of what Christ did at the cross comes in to destroy it, to render it powerless, and to give us a new law. Romans 8, the law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death in and through Jesus Christ. A powerful dynamic. No greater spiritual transformation. From the core of our being, DNA, genetics, body, soul, and spirit, we are changed. And the implanting of the gift of amnion zoe, eternal life, indestructible immortality. Now that's what comes from Christ. That's why there's such great hope in mentioning Jesus Christ, who loves us, died on a cross for us, conquered death, conquered sin, conquered Satan, conquered hell, conquered the grave, conquered all of it in your behalf. Literally, he came to save you. And he's knocking at the door of your heart, politician. He's knocking at the door of your heart, soldier. He's knocking at the door of your heart, listener. And the living Christ wants to come in and release you from the blinding effects of Satan himself, the ownership of Satan, the ownership of death and hell and sin. You have no other hope. You can try to grab crystals, channel a dark demon spirit, listen to an Hindu guru. You can try to talk about peaceful spiritual presence. Has any of it led you to God and the dynamic power and gift of indestructible immortality and the immediacy of knowing God eternally? It's found in Christ. And it is true, yes, that God will bring influence into your life, good, hope, promise, power, guidance, the morality of heaven, the spirituality of heaven. And it works, and it's joyful, and it's blessed. Politicians that walk with God in the power of the living Christ will and should emanate and bring into policies and bring into laws and bring into effect that influence, whether in politics or in military or in education or in media or in business or in the realm of the wealthy elite. It's either that or a final surrender to, at the very least, what you think is spirituality, masqueraded darkness that looks like light because you can't see the difference. The ruler of the power of the air, he's the spirit that is now, the Greek word there is a reference in biblical understanding to a supernatural operative presence. The spirit who is now supernaturally operative in those who are disobedient. How do you define them? They don't have the Spirit of God. They don't know the living Christ. They don't have a relationship with God. They don't have the Spirit of life, the law of life inside of them. They don't have the Spirit of God inside of them. Instead, the operating law of sin and death. Instead, the power of sin and death and hell is still all there. And just like Judas, who totally rejected Jesus Christ, the back door of his life was still an operate. I mean, the door is open. The only way to get the door shut on Satan, the only way to get the door shut on Satan is the living presence of Christ, the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of God, the presence of Christ coming in, severing the ties, severing the power of sin, giving you the new nature. That's why it's called a salvation, a rescue. When politicians die, do they go to heaven or hell? When military leaders die, do they go to heaven or hell? When media moguls die, do they go to heaven or hell? If you don't know the answer in your heart right now, it may be that you don't know. Listen, I'm going to tell you a verse that is written to anyone, politician, soldier, media mogul. Doesn't make any difference who you are. You might be, you know, working at McDonald's. But it's found in the book of 1 John chapter 5. When the Spirit of God leads the writer to say these words, God says, I write to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you might know that you have eternal life. The Greek word know, gnosko, means that you know that you know that you know experientially within you, every fiber of your being, your spirit, your soul, your body, your conscience, your everything about you, your whole construct. It's in you because God's in you, because Christ is in you, because the gift of eternal life is in you. For those of you that have that, you can now rejoice and, yes, cry out hallelujah. And for those that don't but want that, the good news, hallelujah, right now is that the living Christ summons you and calls you. And yes, right now, not tomorrow, now, right this moment, you can believe on the name of the living Christ, receive him into your life. The gift of God comes in. Satan's chains are broken. Sin's rule is broken. The very life of God comes in. You see, there's a battle for the soul of mankind, humankind. And that shows up in politics. That shows up in military vision and policy. That shows up. You know, Jesus said you can know those who really know him and those who don't by their fruit. By what comes out of their life consistently. Whether they're really in touch with God. So when I see politicians speaking and writing law and battling for policies that are anti-God, that once again spit in the face of God, they are opening the door for any nation, including the United States of America, to damnation. To damnation. Politicians, their choice is to open the door to God or to spit in the face of God. To live out the will of God, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. You ever read that? Romans 12. Listen, I've been going on for 45 minutes and I'm just passionate right now about, because I believe that great impact can still happen. Because I'm not willing to give America, and if you're in Canada, if you're in Australia, if you're in England, if you're in Europe, if you're in Russia, don't be willing to give your nation away to the dogs. Don't, listen, if you're a believer in Christ and you know the mission of God, you know that there's great hope. If you understand the power, the fierce power of prayer, there's great hope. If you're not going to do the will of God as a believer, if you're not going to learn to become fierce in prayer against radical evil, as you also unleash the grace of God in prayer, I have to ask the question, then what good are we? Do we aid and abet the damnation of America by our suppression and our silence? Do we just listen to the screamers like Russ and many, many other talk show hosts? Do we just listen to the screamers, not knowing that a barbed wire fence is not too far away? You might be listening right now and you say, well, I don't know about Jesus. What do you have? If you die tonight, where do you go? When your body rots in the grave, where are you? When Christ himself returns, will he snatch you up? Will he give you the gift of glorification, immortality, indestructible, irreversible, almost incomprehensible? Do you know the power, the presence, the love of God? Do you want to be, listen, even the politician, in the depth of their hearts, and military soldier, the ultimate issue. Set aside the politics, set aside the military, set aside the money, set aside everything else. There you are, a naked human being in a fallen, broken, ragged edge of a world. Death is in your body. It will soon happen, like with all of us. Something's wrong. Something's wrong inside of us. We hate death. We fear death. Yet, it is massively, massively distorting, distracting. Because the entirety of the New Age movement and occult and cults and groups will turn you away from the cross, where the finality of death has been blasted away forever by the work of Jesus Christ. He died, shed his blood, and rose from the dead. That was prophesied 1,000 years in advance. Jesus himself said, "Destroy this temple, it'd be raised up in 3 days." No matter how far you fight in politics, in military, in economics, wherever you're at, what's the living principle behind your life? See, I confess the living Christ, the joy of God's love inside of me. I confess the reality that I know God and that God influences my life, that He changed my life from inside out totally. That God's goodness, that God's love, that God's presence, that God's power came in. I know what's going to happen when I die, where I'm going to go. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. I know that when He returns, I will be with Him. I know that I shall see God face to face. That's the gift that is included when we receive Christ as Savior and Lord. Now, you can look in Revelation 19 about Armageddon. It's a future look at the pinnacle of politics and the pinnacle of military system. In Revelation 19, the pinnacle of political leaders and military leaders that gave way to the Luciferic, fallen cherub, spiritual influence, theirs were... all of it ends. All of it ends there in Revelation 19, 19, 19, 20. For the super soldiers that want non-human intelligences and want the dark powers, for those that want the mark of the beast and eventually the kind of globalism, well, there's where it ends. How do we get there? Revelation 16. See, Revelation 16 shows us again that it's a vast spiritual power that guides military and political leaders in their decision making to lead the largest military campaign in the entirety of all of human history put together. The spirit behind politics. The fallen cherub. The spirit behind Judas, the fallen cherub. The spirit engaged in Eden, in the beginning of the human race. The fallen cherub. The word of God defines him in the book of Revelation, chapter 12. There's a definition given by God concerning how huge this demonic power, the satanic force is. He's called a megas demon or dragon. The megas dragon. The huge or the enormous dragon that leads the whole world astray. And yet there's things that you and I who are believers in Christ in a spiritual battle can do with the fierce power of the authority of Christ to trample the dark side and to overcome all the power of the enemy. The ability to pray against the demonic forces that are seeking to guide our politicians and our military men and women towards globalism, towards policies that will bring damnation instead of freedom. The same Satan that rose up against Israel to entice the political military leader of the land to do exactly the opposite of what God says, what God wills, Satan knows. Satan would love to weaken nations and bring destruction to nations. That's what he's all about. The father of lies is a murderer. I'm not willing to let the nation go to the dogs because God wills that even the nation would believe and obey God. God wills that the body of Christ go to the highways, the byways, to every living human being and seek to lead them to Christ. God wills that prayer and intercession and fierce, powerful prayers be prayed for the politicians and the military leaders. Where do you find that? Well, Timothy chapter 2, when God commands church leaders to lead their congregations in a first priority and passionate urgency in praying for the nation. Because it's a spiritual war. Because it's a spiritual battle. If you fight with just words or even your fists, it will always be that losing, confusing. It reminds me of Peter when Satan came and brought great destruction to all the disciples. He disrupted them and fought against them, and literally Peter didn't know what to do. He's cussing, he's running, he's hiding, he's anxious, he's depressed eventually because spiritual warfare struck him. Spiritual warfare, the rise of satanic agenda, the rise of the Luciferic cause, the rise of Luciferic doctrine that shows up as political ideology. Listen, it comes in and through people. Now, Friday night, I'm going to talk about how to pray for politicians and military leaders, how to pray for God's grace on them, how to pray for God for the leading of exposing those who are serving the satanic agenda, for how to pray that the Spirit of God would bring great conviction and fierce pricking of the heart that they might repent and stop. And then also how to pray and ask God and seek God for the removal of politicians. Nehemiah prayed in repentance. Daniel prayed in repentance, the Judges, the book of Judges. Can we probably, like the Roman Christians, begin to pray that God would deliver us? In their prayers for God to deliver them, God brought down the God opposing empire of Rome. Even when the Caesar struck a coin that said the Christian religion was dead because of their opposition to God's will in shredding and destroying believers. When Rome fell, the will of God and the body of Christ continued all these hundreds and hundreds of years. I think there's choices. Let America fall to the demon dogs. Let America fall to the forces, the same forces that guided the ideology of the Nazis. Just sit back and let it happen. Just watch from a distance. And I think that that's dereliction of duty. I think that's Laodicean. I think that's ignoring the power, the grace, the might of God that could bring revival, could bring salvation. That's ignoring the mission. God did not say, stop the mission of heaven. God did not say, stop the fierce prayers against radical evil. God did not say, stop the massive prayer for the salvation of the souls of men and women and children. God did not say, or withdraw the power of the Spirit of God that clothes us as believers to be witnesses. God instead commands us to go, to be the light of the world, to be the soul winners, to be the influencers, to be those that bring an effect of God into politics, military, economics, the environment. If you and I stand back as believers, if millions upon millions of American believers in Christ stand back and just simply give the streets, the schools, the businesses, give it all to the dogs of hell, do we have any right to scream any longer? Do we have a right to say anything any longer? Do we know what it is to pray with fierce power for God to raise up godly, like Daniel, like Nehemiah, to raise up massively great and good leaders? Maybe I'm speaking to a father that could become a great, powerful, godly influence in your home. That you could be the light in your home, in your family, in your extended family. Maybe it's a believer that lives in an apartment complex or a neighborhood, and God can use you to begin to unleash the massive prayers for grace and mercy and the massive prayers of fierce prayers against radical evil. Now listen, you're listening tonight, and this voice is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. And I've got on my website, on the right-hand side, you'll see where it says, Save the Nation, Fierce Prayer, Aggressive Action. Next week, I'll be developing an agenda. I don't know how far it's going to go. Maybe we'll begin to do conferences and engagements and speaking, but it's going to involve fierce prayer and aggressive action. Be looking for the beginnings of that next week. I leave tomorrow for Michigan and we'll be back Sunday. And yes, you'll hear my voice here Friday night at 6 p.m. And I urge you to go to shatterthedarkness.net and take a look at the materials and, even consider the book, The Black Awakening, because it involves quite a bit of what I'm talking about in far more definitive terms. It brings quotations from over 200 other books and works. And it will also give to you 80 hours of conference training materials, course materials, 80 hours of MP3s that I think would back and help and build and educate believers. I want to say thank you because I know we're coming to the end of the hour already and I didn't even... You know, I skipped the news and I skipped the updates and I skipped a lot of things. We're going to be in St. Louis, April the 9th and 10th, at the Truth Is Out There, the Christian Symposium on the Paranormal Conference. We're going to be in Nashville, April the 23rd and April the 24th, at the Last Days Conference. I hope you'll take a look at those conferences. I pray that God will lead many of you there, because I intend to not only give my content, but come with fierce commitment for prayer, for aggressive action, and for the advance of the cause of God and for the opposition to the dark side. I cannot leave people to the dogs. I cannot leave this nation to the dogs. Hey, blessings to you, my friends, tonight. We're here at 7. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net.